Cass County Board of Supervisors met Friday morning in Atlantic to take care of administrative and organizational matters for the new year. Following a vote, 2014 Board Chair Frank Water was reelected as chair for 2015. The votes for vice chair went to Gaylord Schnelling. Board then acted on approving the following recommended appointments: Bev Groves, office assistant for Cass County Attorney Dave Wiederstein; Marcy Wallingford as deputy in the Cass County Recorder's Office; Bethany Nichols as motor vehicle deputy; Julie Simmons as driver's license deputy; Beth Marshashak as deputy; Kate Winston as assistant; and Brandy Wittrock as drive examiner. All serve in the Cass County Treasurer's Office. In addition to various other administrative matters and appointments of board members to various committees and boards, supervisors also agreed to continue their meeting on weekly basis on Wednesdays beginning at 8:30 unless otherwise noted. Next regular meeting will take place on January 7th. Nichols as the motor vehicle deputy, Julie Simmons as driver's license deputy, Beth Marshashak as deputy, and Kate Winston as assistant, and Brandy Wittrock as drive examiner. All serve in the Cass County Treasurer's Office. In addition to various other administrative matters and appointments, the board members to various committees and boards, the supervisors also agreed to continue to meet weekly on Wednesdays beginning at 8:30, unless otherwise noted. The next regular meeting is set to take place on January the 7th. Cass County Sheriff's Office reports deputies responded to one accident and made two arrests over the week. No injuries were reported following a two-vehicle accident late Wednesday morning in Messina. Officials say a 2008 Ford F-250 owned and driven by 56-year-old Rick Emmert Larson of Lewis was traveling west on Highway 92 when a 2003 Chevy Impala driven by 28-year-old Shelby Deanne McKinley of Wyota attempted to pass. As she did so, McKinley's car clipped the left front side of Larson's pickup truck, causing $1,500 damage altogether. McKinley was cited for unsafe passing. Sheriff's Department says 30-year-old Travis Giles Warren of Council Bluffs was arrested Tuesday on a district court warrant for failure to appear. Warren was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he remains held on a $10,000 bond. On Tuesday, January 1st, 43-year-old Jason William Sheldahl of Boone was arrested on a Cass County charge of driving while revoked. Sheldahl was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he was released the following day on his own recognizance. Officials with the Council Bluffs Fire Department on Friday afternoon released details pertaining to a fatal fire that occurred Friday morning. Authorities say at around 7:18, firefighters from Council Bluffs were dispatched to a one-story residential structure fire. First fire units to arrive on the scene found heavy smoke and fire emitting from the basement of the home. When the crews began to attack the flames and conduct a search for victims, they found a man in a bedroom. He was transported to Mercy Hospital and was reported to be in stable condition. Female resident in the basement bedroom was also found deceased. Officials say she had no means of secondary egress from the basement. An additional male and female who were residing in the home managed to escape prior to the arrival of firefighters. Crews quickly extinguished the flames and no other properties were damaged. Damage was primarily confined to the basement where the fire originated. The rest of the structure sustained only smoke damage. Investigation was being conducted to determine the origin and cause of the fire. Names of the victims and other information is not currently available. Traffic stop Wednesday south of Denison resulted in the arrest of a Shelby County man on a drug charge. The Crawford County Sheriff's Office reports 42-year-old Sean Steinkuhler of Defiance faces possession of marijuana charge after the vehicle he was in was pulled over on Highway 58. Crawford County K-9 Bayou was deployed and alerted to the odor of narcotics. After investigation, Steinkuhler was taken into custody. In a report released Friday morning, Union County Sheriff's Department reports a Creston woman suffered possible unknown injuries during a rollover accident Wednesday night. 18-year-old Haley Marie Darland was transported by a private vehicle to Greater Regional Hospital in Creston after the vehicle she was a passenger in apparently went out of control on a gravel road, struck a curve sign before entering the ditch and rolling several times. Authorities say a 2007 Chevy Impala driven by 20-year-old Amy Marie Dunphy of Creston when it crossed as it was traveling south on Willow Avenue at around 10:30 p.m. Wednesday. Car went out of control after it left the paved portion of the roadway when it became gravel on the other side of the bridge. Dunphy was not injured in the crash. The car she was driving in was declared a total loss. Union County road sign sustained $100 in damage. No citations were issued. Organizers of the Midlands Humane Society have opened a new facility in Council Bluffs. Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil reports the 11,591-square-foot building was designed with plenty of natural light, has rooms designated for animal adoptions, animal control, and the treatment of sick animals, and also is an area that would allow for future expansion of the building. Board of Directors has been working on the facility in Council Bluffs for the last 8 years. As Board Chair Leslie Southern says that organizers are thrilled to be part of the Helping Tales Find Happy Endings. Flu is not the only nasty thing that spread across the state in recent weeks. As Jeff Greenwood, who is a spokesperson for the Iowa Attorney General, says that phone scams are continuing to be a problem.
We're getting calls, dozens of calls every day from people who are reporting some kind of an impersonation or imposter scam.
Greenwood says that they are cold or random calls to people across Iowa.
They pick up the phone. The person on the other end of the line says, I'm with the IRS, or I'm with the sheriff's office, or I'm with your energy company. You owe us money and you need to pay right now, or you risk getting arrested before the end of the day. They're threatening phone calls. They demand action now.
He says that one of the keys that the calls are a scam is the caller is urgent that you pay immediately.
They want you to give them a credit card number or debit card number or a prepaid money card number, in some cases even wiring money, and then they say you won't get arrested. These are all scam phone calls. They're very effective calls.
He says the calls that may have picked up this time of year because they can catch people at home for the holidays. He says technology has improved to allow the scammers to hide their identities.
They're able to mask their numbers through what they call spoofing. So it may look on your caller ID as if you really are getting a phone call from the IRS or from some number, but it's really an overseas call. The number's made up. It's certainly not their phone number, and it adds to the scam. It makes it more believable, and people, unfortunately, are falling for it.
Greenwood says the high-pressure tactics asking you to pay on the call itself are an indication that the caller is running a scam. A Creighton University report is suggesting Iowa's economy will grow faster during the first quarter of 2015 than earlier expected. Economist Ernie Yost released his Business Conditions Index for 9 states, including Iowa, on Friday morning, and concludes Iowa's economy has rebounded into positive territory after 5 straight months of decline. Yost surveys supply managers each month to get a read on what's going on.
Supply managers who are at the front end of the supply chain, of course, they're sort of the canary in the coal mine in terms of the economy.
Goss is forecasting significant wage increases over the next 2 quarters, and his survey indicates there will be very strong overall growth in the 9 mid-American states, that his inflation gauge has gone down to its lowest level in 5.5 years.
Now, why is it important? Well, it's showing our reduction in food prices, of course, but also oil prices. You don't need an economist to tell you that fuel prices are coming down, down, down. We saw prices double this a year ago. So that's very important going forward. Very important to hold down inflation, but very important to spur growth. We're going to see that.
Goss is head of the Creighton University Economic Forecasting Group. News around the world. Authorities say the only survivor of a Kentucky plane crash that killed 4 people is a 7-year-old girl who walked away from the scene to a nearby residence to seek help. Small Piper PA-34 reported engine trouble and lost contact with the air traffic controllers as it was flying over the southwestern part of Kentucky yesterday. Officials say that she has non-life-threatening injuries but is suffering emotional distress. Indonesian officials say that they are more hopeful of recovering victims and finding the black boxes of the Air Asia Flight 8501, which crashed into the Java Sea about a week ago in stormy weather. Researchers using sonar located 2 large objects in the sea bottom, which are believed to be the wreckage. There are 162 aboard, and 30 bodies have so far been recovered. Man about to go on trial in the United States and for his alleged role in the 1998 embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania has died in custody. Officials say that Abu Anas Alibi was believed to be the computer specialist with Al-Qaeda. His wife is proclaiming his innocence and says that the United States is responsible for his mistreatment and his death. Commissioner William Bratton is urging New York City police officers to avoid political statements as they attend today's wake and tomorrow's funeral for the 2nd of 2 of their own that were ambushed and killed. Relations are tense between officers and the city administration. Thousands of mourners are expected to attend the services. Authorities say that an autopsy is planned to determine the cause of death of 2 well-developed human fetuses, apparently twins, who were found dead along a roadway in San Diego County Church in California. Sheriff's officials say that a man called 911 yesterday afternoon to report the gruesome discovery. The man said that he initially thought that it was a doll wrapped in a blanket. KJAN News Time is 8:10, looking at funeral notices for today. Benin M. Groh, 76, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday, December 27th. Funeral services for Benin Groh will be 10 o'clock Saturday, today, at the United Methodist Church in Bowman's Chapel in rural Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Burial will be at the Pleasant Hill Cemetery, Rural Guthrie Center. Richard E. McCauley, 81, of Atlantic, died August 31st at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Massive Christian burial service for Richard McCauley will be Saturday, today, at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. Wayne L. Moss, 89, of Sun Lakes, Arizona, formerly of Adair, died Saturday, December 27th at Chandler, Arizona. Funeral services for Wayne L. Moss will be today at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. Harry Peterson, Jr., 81, of Harlan, died Tuesday, December 30th at Mertu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Harry Peterson, Jr. will be held 11 o'clock today at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Jacksonville. Holly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Hugh Ross, 89, of Atlantic, died December 21st at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Gathering for Hugh Ross will be held 2 until 4 p.m. on Saturday. Today, the Heritage House, Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic, has the arrangements. Sharon Froelich, Coon Rapids, died Thursday, January 1st at Thomas Rest Haven in Coon Rapids. Funeral services for Sharon Froelich will be 10:30 Monday, the United Methodist Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. James A. Vanderpool, 74, of Stewart, died Thursday. The Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for James Vanderpool will be held 11 o'clock Monday. The First Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Virginia Margaret Beeson, 92, of Erling, died Thursday at Mertu Medical Center in Harlan. Mass of the Christian Burial Service for Virginia Beeson will be 10:30 Tuesday. St. Joseph Catholic Church in Erling. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Alice Boyson, 98, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Alice Boyson will be 11 o'clock Tuesday at the United Methodist Church in Wyota. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. David B. Anderson of 74 of Omaha died Thursday at the Douglas County Health Center in Omaha. Memorial service for David Anderson will be 10 o'clock Friday, January 9th at the Douglas County Health Center. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Jim Doherty, 84, of Cumberland, died Friday at his daughter's home in Omaha, Nebraska. Funeral services for Jim Doherty are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Jaylene Parker, 51, of Coon Rapids, died suddenly Friday morning at her home. Services for Jaylene Parker are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. Dorothy A. Young, 84, of Anita, formerly of Walnut, Marnie, and Atlantic, died Friday at Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab Center in Anita. Funeral services for Dorothy Young are pending at the Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic. Phyllis Campbell, 90, of Orient, passed away Saturday, today, at the Creston Nursing and Rehab Center in Creston. Funeral services are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.steenfunerals.com.